And I'm so glad that Nancy Fitzgerald is with us now from Anchors Away in Carmel, a biblical worldview ministry reaching out to our young people and teaching them to stand firmly in their faith, because this story of legacy, I've been waiting all morning for you to get to hear.
You just want to hear the story yourself.
I do. I love this story.
Oh,
I do.
Boy.
I want to hear it
all
too.
All right. All right. Well, get ready for this. Buckle up. Nancy, we're going to ask you, what is a legacy? And of course, there's got to be some story behind that.
Well, there are lots of stories behind legacy, you know, some of them wonderful and others not so wonderful. But today we're going to key in on those awesome legacies. And those are things that we, you know, receive from people that have gone before us, that we have known from the past. And some legacies are, you know, they left me $1 million and, you know, and that's great. And I'll remember them for that. But more importantly, how we leave children, our children or our nieces and nephews after we're gone. And that could be a legacy of love and respect. Mm-hmm. And so that's what we're going to key on today is, what does our legacy look like? If we were to die today, what would our legacy be? And it's a wake-up call, I think, for all of us.
Oh, yeah. And I know you've got, and I've just been dying for you to share it, this actually more than one, as you said, priceless story of the legacies that were left by your family and their impact on you. So share one or two of those, Nancy.
Well, yes, the one that Kelly is referring to is, you know, I learned to play golf when I was very young. I started when I was 10. My father taught me everything I knew, really until well after, you know, I was in my 40s before I asked somebody else's opinion on a golf swing. So he taught me. And by 7 years old, I was chomping at the bit to play, but you couldn't until you were 10. So I turned 10 and I was so excited that I could finally play in my first golf tournament. And as that day approached, I was so nervous that I called my dad and I said, please come out and help me and because the tournament's tomorrow. So he did, and we went to the golf course and we played a few holes. And on the first hole, I hit a bad drive and I threw my driver. And my dad looked at me, went over, picked up my driver and put it in his bag. And I didn't think anything about it. But after the fourth hole of playing and throwing tantrums, I had only four clubs left in my bag, my four wood and my seven iron and my little pitcher and my putter. And my father suggested it was time to quit. So we left the golf course and walked back to the clubhouse, and he walked in his locker room and didn't come out with his clubs nor mine. And I was horrified. And I said, so where are my clubs? Where are they? And my father said, they're in my locker and where they'll be staying for quite a while, it seems. And I was absolutely horrified. And I said, I have to have them. And if not, then I'm not playing in a tournament. And my father said, I can hear him like yesterday, oh, you'll be playing, Nancy, and I'm going to be caddying for you. And he leaned over and he put my chin in the palm of his hand. And he said this, until you understand, young lady, that you will not long be remembered for the golf tournament you win, but rather for your character. And as for now, you're not getting your clubs back. Mm. And I'll share in a minute how that ended, but I was so shocked that I had to show up and that I had to live out the consequences of my temper tantrums, you know. And I thought about that story yesterday when we went to the cemetery with some flowers for a family gravesite. And I looked at those gravestones And, you know, I'm sure everybody does this when they go. They just don't see the stones. They have memories that flood their mind. Sadly, good ones and bad ones. But I remember one that was told to my grandfather, and there was his stone, and it just flashed back. You know, he owned a bank in Kalamazoo, Michigan. And during the Great Depression of the 30s, he lost almost everything he had. But he was such an amazing guy that he worked the rest of his life to pay people who were banking at his bank, to pay them back. And people had never heard of such a thing. He didn't have to do it. He just did it. And it was amazing. And then my mom and my dad are buried there too. And my mother was a poster child for ADD. And when I think of her, I just have to almost laugh out loud. She was an amazing woman. She started organizations and served and led charity, you know, fundraising events and all of this, but she was just a great mom. And my dad too owned a business, never signed a contract with anybody. And I got to thinking, you know, what a great legacy this is, that people would trust him enough to do business with him with no contract, never a lawsuit. And it was an amazing thing to grow up with people who were humble. Nobody ever talked about what they did. When I was playing golf, nobody ever talked to about my golf in my family. We just respected one another and didn't hold one up against the other. It was most unusual, really. But just growing up with humility and generosity and leadership, for me, was a finish line that I really wanted to cross as an adult. And I think we all did, all the kids did. Not because they spoke it, because they lived it out. And this is really the heartbeat of a legacy.
Well, let me ask you. It affected you in an immense way when your mm-hmm. father did that to you. And it changed the trajectory of your life to focus more on character than the swing. Well, right. There's this thorn that Paul talks about, and he has a legacy for all of us that he leaves behind in all of his writings in the New Testament. So when it comes to legacies, what do we want to look for and make sure that we don't miss in Paul's writings?
Yes, and I think Paul is the key one to look at here, because he was the smartest of the smart. You know, he knew it all. He was the Jew of all Jews. And to see him humble himself and go places that we would never go, because he had love for Christ and compassion for others and a passion for teaching and a passion for living the truth about Christ, no matter where he was at that time. And the circumstances that he encountered, he didn't complain about them, but yet he pursued and he went through them to the end, to that finish line. And I think with Paul, you know, there's so much we can learn, but in the midst of his teaching and his passion was a man who spoke dearly through the inspiration of God as to the personalness of God, that we can be people of faith, that our lives can change because of an encounter with Jesus. And he went from the strong teacher to just the soft, loving person who embraced people. And I love Philippians 4. We talk about it a lot in these weeks of questions, when he said, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. In the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. And so he lived this out. And I'm sure people back in those days could see this being lived out. And we can read from his writings that this personal relationship is so important, as important That's the passion that he had, that all would come to know Christ. And isn't that a great legacy for all of us to lean toward? He knew his stuff. This is great biblical worldview. He knew scripture. He knew God. He knew Jesus. And he didn't keep it to himself, but he lived it out. Awesome.
Well, Nancy, we've got just a few minutes left. So before you get to the end of the story where you were 10 years old, you threw your clubs, your dad taught you that lesson, before you share how that finally ended, tell us a little bit about how we as Christians can leave meaningful legacies that are going to influence the lives of our kids and others that are coming behind us.
Yeah, for sure. And I, as Paul did, and so many of the people that have impacted our life in a good way, just study the Word of God and pray. But the most important thing is to live it out. And how do we live it out in this generation, especially in these times? To love others well, to forgive well, to be a giver and not a taker, to walk alongside others via phone or, you know, whatever it is, but to be a giver, like to what you all are doing at Moody, to give. Not only monetarily, but with your heart to others. And to laugh a lot, have fun, enjoy life. And you know, this is our legacy. It's not the money we leave. It's so people can see that our faith is genuine and almost to the point where people say there's something about them I want. And hopefully that is Jesus. You know, Proverbs 22 says, train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. And you know, hopefully, when our life comes to an end, that will come alive. So, by the way, the end of this story, my dad did show up. Yes, I was humiliated. I had my Pattyburg clubs, but only four of them, and people were looking at me like, "Who's this? She only has four clubs," and oh, it's awful. But my dad was my caddy, so I was going to do it. So the two of us went to the tournament, and there we are. We're going to play. And I can tell you the truth. I was on my best behavior. No clubs went airborne, not a single one. And I will tell you this. It was the first tournament that I won and the last time I ever threw a club. And the lesson was learned, and thank you, Dad, for that, because of his influence, mm-hmm. I have been able to join this game. I enjoy this game for my whole life, and it's been a wonderful, wonderful experience and continues today because of an influence of one man.
Well, that speaks volumes of a legacy, the change that he had been responsible for in your attitude, in your life,
right,
that has
right.
People look at your character before anything mm-hmm. else. And that is what counts most of all. And so this is a great story. Love hearing it. Love to get to be able to share this with people so that they start to think about that. But what a great testimony to her dad.
I know, for real. Yeah. And I would have loved to have been there in that moment when with just four clubs, you still won anyway. You stinker.
I can't imagine you as a 10-year-old, but hey, whatever.
It was scary.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah. I know the attitude that's packed in there now, so boy. Man, before all of that other stuff got worked out by Jesus. Yeah.
Oh, boy.
By Jesus.
Terrifying. Absolutely terrifying. I will say that I got a little trophy that's about 5 inches tall, and I slept with that thing, and I still have that. I could give away everything else, but I keep that. It's a great reminder. It doesn't have any hand, you know, how the little figures on it doesn't have any hands. Those got broken off. But I probably because I've thrown it a few times, but I love it. And there she is with no hands, all messed up. But I treasure that not because of the trophy, which is worth nothing, but because of the memories of it.
Yeah.
And we all have those trophies, hopefully, of somebody in our life that influenced our lives. And I want to be one of those trophies in somebody's life, you know, that encourages them and teaches them the hard lessons.
Well, we appreciate that, and we've got a spot on our shelf for you. So thank you, Nancy, for sharing that. If you want to find out more, you can go to kellyandsteve.org. You'll find information about anchorsaway.org, all the stuff that's going on right there. I want to encourage you to take a visit and spend some time looking that over and get to know Anchors Away.